Hey friend, welcome to Rise and Shine with Emily C. I'm your host. This podcast is all about rising from the ashes of your past trauma so that you can step into motherhood with a fierceness and confidence you didn't know was possible and become a generational game changer. I'm so excited that you've decided to include me on your journey. Together, we're going to rise and shine. Let's go. Hey friends, another day, another new episode. Welcome, welcome. I am so excited to be here with you today. Today on Rise and Shine with Emily C, we are talking with Krista Bevan. She is the founder of the Radical Mother Village for mothers dedicated to consciously breaking cycles of generational trauma. Welcome.
Thanks, Emily. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Thanks for joining me. I'm so excited, to have you. So let's talk about, what brought you to, discover your passion for helping mamas who are breaking generational trauma cycles.
Yeah, that's a great question. So essentially what brought me to doing the work of connecting with other mamas and supporting them doing this is that I was sick of feeling like I was the only one. Mm-hmm. And I felt really lonely and isolated and I felt alone and but I also felt like I couldn't be the only one. I sort of knew that that couldn't be true. Mm-hmm. And so I said, all right, if I can't find this village of support that I'm looking for, then I guess I'll have to create it myself. And so that's exactly mm-hmm. what I did. And I started the Facebook group and I started my business and I had sort of been working towards this for a really long time. And all of these pieces sort of fell together after my son was born and the rest is history. It all sort of mm-hmm. came together.
Wow.
That's what I needed.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't find it. So you make it yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah. I have a similar story. Whereas, after my daughter was born, I knew that I didn't want her to experience the same misery that I had grown up with and was still dealing with in a lot of ways. So I knew that I wasn't special enough to be the only woman. The only mother out there who is walking this journey. So it's so exciting when I find another mama who is walking this path and lifting other mamas up in a similar way. So let's talk about how generational trauma is passed down. Because I feel like it's probably not talked about a whole lot.
Yeah. So there's a couple of different ways. So there's trauma, there's sort of big T trauma, which are the things that a lot of people can easily sort of recognize as trauma. So things like abuse or car accidents, things like your parents getting, these are big traumas that can happen.
Yeah.
Right. But then there's also little T traumas. And these can be things that are sort of persistent cumulative traumas that are just these little rubs that start to add up over time. And so both of those can sort of be passed down and those experiences and the ramifications of those can be passed down. Right. Mm-hmm. So it can be things like having an alcoholic parent. Mm-hmm. And then you also have the genes to be more likely to be an alcoholic yourself. And then that's sort of what you've seen. And that's what you've sort of learned and known. And so then you grow up and are an alcoholic as well. And then your children are more likely to be alcoholics, right? So that's an easy example of sort of how some of these things can be, mm-hmm. passed down. But then there's other things like attachment traumas. So, and a lot of this, I think, in my opinion, and in my work, comes down to dysregulated nervous system states. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's say your grandmother was in a dysregulated nervous system state because she had some unhealed trauma that she was carrying around in her body for whatever reason. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it makes it hard for her to be present and patient and attuned while she's raising your mom. And those are the things we sort of need to create secure, safe, happy attachments. So your mother then grows up and she has experienced this trauma of not having an attuned caregiver who's providing her with that stable foundation of secure attachment. So then her attachment style maybe is avoidant or is anxious or is somehow sort of not what we want it to be, right? Mm-hmm. So then she grows up, she has you, and then she's not sure, she hasn't seen a healthy, secure attachment modeled. She hasn't experienced that in her life. And so then she has trouble connecting with you as a child. So maybe she's not responding to your cries. Maybe she's ignoring your needs. And this can all be subconscious. She may very well intend to be a good mother, but she might not have the capacity to do that in her system, or might not realize the ways in which she's not actually showing up for you the way that we need our mothers to show up. And certainly this can happen with fathers too, but just in this example. And so what can happen is that your grandmother's unhealed trauma then becomes this nervous system dysregulation that starts to affect down the line, right? And certainly this can go much further back than your grandmother, and it can affect more than just your own children, but that's just sort of a quick snapshot of how some of these things that are maybe not necessarily big T traumas that you've experienced as a child can still result in you having some trauma wounds that you need to heal in order to prevent those things from continuing on down the line to your own children.
Yeah. And I think for a lot of childhood trauma survivors, we've grown up in the really developmental stages of our childhood with our fight or flight response triggered on. And that's fine. Your body was created for your fight or flight response to trigger on when there's an emergency, when you need to run from a bear, when there is an imminent danger. However, when your fight or flight response is triggered consistently for a long period of time without allowing your body to rest, your brain cannot differentiate the difference between an actual danger or a perceived danger, something that you think might be dangerous. It just knows, oh, I just want to stay alive. I'm going to trigger my fight or flight response because I want to stay alive.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, so yes, 100% yes, everything that you just said. And there's two points that I want to dig into a little deeper. One is you said, when you think there's a threat, right? Mm-hmm. And and that's true, but the you doing the thinking in that particular instance is not actually your conscious brain. And this is where people can sometimes lose sight of how this works, is that it's actually your subconscious brain is the one deciding. And moreover than your subconscious brain, it's really your body that's deciding and sending a signal to the subconscious brain to then act on. Right. So a lot of this can happen. So here's a common example is our kids can trigger us.
And our kids, 100%. My kids, right? Have totally triggered me.
Yeah. And they can, what they can do is they can even trigger our own unresolved childhood trauma because our subconscious brain is perceiving them as a threat. Now, here's the thing. Consciously, we know that our toddlers are not actually a threat to us. We know that they can actually, well, they might be able to hurt us a little bit, but they can actually, they're not a life-threatening danger. And yet our body can respond as though they were, because our subconscious mind is like, wait a minute, we've been here before. I've seen this. This is familiar to something I've experienced before. And like you said, if we're in that dysregulated state of fight or flight, then we can respond accordingly. And then our actions are actually responding to past instead of to present, right? But then the other thing that I find is so true, especially with moms, is that not only can we potentially be in a fight or flight state, but if our body decides that fighting or flighting is not actually going to save us again from this perceived danger, what it does is it goes into freeze and it goes into shutdown. And this is where I see a lot of the moms that I work with, where their system just gets so overwhelmed, it shuts them down and they have trouble engaging. They have trouble showing up. They have trouble feeling fully present. They're depressed. They're sort of, they don't have energy. They feel apathy towards their children and it breaks their heart and they know that's not how they want to feel. And yet they feel stuck in this sort of frozen rut, if you will. And so it's a really hard place to mother from, right? I mean, none of those are good, fight, flight, or freeze, but it's really hard to pick yourself up and drag yourself through another day when that's sort of the state that you're existing and trying to survive in. That's why it's called survival mode, right?
Yeah.
And it's not fun.
No, and it's really hard on your body physically to be in that state consistently. You're going to find yourself with physical health issues that are directly linked to your stress response. And as soon as you tend to and learn how to regulate your stress response, then those physical health issues will be easier to, or they'll be easier to manage, or they'll completely just, your body will resolve itself.
Yeah. That was my experience. And that's what I find.
It's been mine too.
Yeah. And what I find to be true for a lot of folks is that they'll be having these symptoms and not like symptoms of dysregulation in their nervous system and not recognize the signs, ignore the signs, push past them. And it takes their body physically shutting down, getting sick, developing an autoimmune condition, some kind of physical stop sign that really gets them to reevaluate and hopefully adjust things in their life. But that's sort of like the last stop, right? We have to, oftentimes we have to get to that point where our body is yelling at us to get our attention before we actually do something, which is sad and unfortunate and is also super, super common.
It's cultural, I think. I think it goes hand in hand with our society.
Yeah, agreed.
So what are some of the tips that you have to help a mama who may be listening, who's thinking, okay, so I know now that I'm living in nervous system deregulation or dysregulation. What are some things that I can do to bring myself off the cliff?
Yeah. So the big thing that, and this is what I teach to clients. So I say that I'm a nervous system educator, right? So I want you to become aware of how these stress responses in your body operate, why they operate the way that they do, why we're wired to respond in a certain way. And when you can start to do that, you can start to see that there's a pattern to them. There's some regularity to them. They follow sort of a predictable way that they exhibit themselves. And when you can start to learn your own personal blueprint and your own personal stress response, then you can start to work with that. Then we can start to make changes. Alteration follows awareness. When we become aware of the ways that we tend to respond, we can start to do something about that. And oftentimes the what to do piece is discharging excess stress hormones from our body. So when we go into the survival state, what's actually happening on a physiological level is that we're getting a rush of survival hormones that are preparing us to do these things that we're talking about, right? Fighting and flighting, running away from something, take a tremendous amount of physical energy mm-hmm. and physical stamina. So we have this burst of adrenaline, a burst of cortisol, burst of epinephrine running through our body, preparing mm-hmm. us to do those things. The problem is if we never actually fight, we never actually run away. And let's say we shut down, those things are still in our system. So we have to work with the body to get those out. And there's several different sort of stress discharge pathways that we can work with. Things like intentional physical movement, breath work, laughter, positive social connection, time spent in nature, right? There's different things that we can do that will downregulate our nervous system, bring us back into a place where we've moved out of survival, back into a place where we can feel connected with ourselves, connected with others, into a place of regulation. And when we start to find those things that work best for us, I like to help clients create a resources for regulation roadmap that's customized mm-hmm. to them so that they know when I feel this way, when this thing comes up, this is what I can do. And start to figure out what your personal blueprint is for doing those things, working with your body.
Yeah, it's really about getting into alignment and learning how to listen to your body, because your body is constantly communicating with you. It's just not communicating with you like Krista and I are talking now. It's communicating with you with aches and pains and indigestion and fatigue and headaches and acne and hair loss and all of these different things that come up. It's learning to listen and then ask yourself, okay, well, why? Why? What is causing that? Why is that? Asking why? I mean, my 2-year-old says it best, but why?
Right?
But why?
Yeah.
So yeah, just getting into alignment with your body and listening instead of ignoring, get curious, listen.
Yeah. I like to tell people, not only do you need to ask the question, mm-hmm. but you also need to make space to hear the answer. Mm-hmm. And we're not good at that, right? This is another societal thing where we want to know the answer and we want to be able to Google it and find the answer right now. We don't want to mm-hmm. necessarily have to wait and sort of sit back and pause and reflect and think about things and hear mm-hmm. those sort of whispers from our body, but that's really the way to do it. And if we try mm-hmm. to force the answer, it doesn't work. You know, no. Forcing things never works. And the same is true when we're trying to tap into this, some of this inner wisdom that our body contains that we've been so disconnected from mm-hmm. because of, you know, the traumatic experiences that we've had in our own lives. So,
mm-hmm. oh man, I love that. Do you have anything that you would like to offer to our listeners today?
So the best place to connect with me and the best place to get more is to join my virtual village, which is the Facebook group that I run that is also called the Radical Mother Village. And there you can go, and everyone in there is doing this work. They're all mm-hmm. walking alongside of you. Some of them are new to cycle breaking. Some of them are seasoned mothers who have been at this for a while. And it's this beautiful community of people supporting each other and empowering and inspiring one another and saying, mm-hmm. you got this. This is what I did that worked. This is what I'm trying. These are the books I'm reading. These are the things that are helpful in my life. Mm-hmm. And it's a really wonderful community of support. And so for anyone looking for more, I would suggest going there and joining us.
Yeah. There's one thing: you do not have to cycle break, and do motherhood, heal through motherhood alone.
No,
you do not have to do it alone. There are communities. Krista has a community. I have a community. And we're rising up together and raising kids that have the tools they need to live a healthy life. Because at the end of the day, that's that's what we're doing here. We're raising kids that have the tools to live a healthy life, and showing up for ourselves in a little bit of a different way as well. So
yes,
thank you so much for joining me. It was a great conversation, and yeah, we'll talk soon.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Rise and Shine with Emily C. Before you go, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe to the podcast so you get notified when new episodes go live every week.